Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, my partners in homeschooling now, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Sorry, I was getting a call from my mom. She has impeccable timing.
Speaking of homeschool.
She's homeschooling me now.
You know what the word impeccable reminds me of?
What's that?
Chickens.
What's that, Piper?
Chickens.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you guys have chickens? Did you guys get on the big, like, evangelical homeschool raising chickens craze about a decade ago? I assume we all have, like,
bandwagon, Big T?
Yeah, I assume we just have each of us a yard full of chickens at this point, given,
oh, man, chickens,
given our faith.
Goats. I think it's called a farm. Last time I
checked. Yeah, exactly.
Do you I think now, it's called a homeschool farm, last time I checked.
Is it just me, or did that pop like 10 years ago? Because I feel like everybody we knew was getting chickens like a decade ago. Is that still a big deal?
Did it have
like,
anything?
What do you mean? Like, what do you mean?
All right. I'll just go in on it. Like a certain type of family in our churches, they were having a lot of kids, and kind of concurrent with that, they were getting a lot of chickens. And I think the thought process was like, you know, there was sort of this fascination with farming. These weren't farmers. These were like people who lived in town, but they were still getting chickens kind of as part of the homeschool curriculum. I don't know. My question to you, as both of you gentlemen can speak to this, is that still a big deal? Are you seeing a lot of chickens in your churches?
I may or may not be in a small group with people who raise multiple people who raise chickens. So yes, I know something of what you discuss. I'm trying to figure out if it has something to do with, like, you know, it was about 10 years ago when the whole, very free range everything became a big deal, and food justice. Which is one of my favorite phrases, by the way.
Let's take the fun out of food completely.
One more thing to get pissed off about.
Absolutely. I love it.
I'm angry that this dead cow that I'm eating was not treated well before it was butchered. But anyway, so I feel like that was sort of when food justice became a thing, and the people were like, oh, I can justly treat my own chickens and have their eggs. And I think there was probably,
I can give him a little back rub every evening, work his traps like Ron does for Jared C. Wilson during the quarantine.
It's possible there's like a Dave Ramsey influence here too, because people are like, I can save money by raising chickens. So it's like an endless source of eggs as opposed to going and buying them for $1.29 a dozen.
Range
eggs.
Pipe, I want to lean into the Nashville aspect of this a little bit, because I'm guessing it looks different in Nashville versus Ashland or like where I'm at. Like in Nashville, I'm guessing it's like super cheekbony kind of male model type hipster dudes out there like shaking the chicken feet onto the ground in the evening. Is that kind of what we're looking at vis-a-vis your small group?
Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, there's a lot
of guys named like Trevor and Chase, and you know what I'm saying? Like,
dude, don't get me started on the Trevor thing again. It's just
we gotta stay off names, Roman.
So Nashville's an interesting place because there are those hipsters, and there's definitely some of that. There's also like people who grew up on farms, and then now they like Nashville has sort of swallowed them up. So. Yeah. There's a true rural component to part of it as well. Like Nashville's got a lot of deep-rooted rednecks, along with your Brooklyn hipsters who came in here to make it big in the movie scene and are now serving coffee. Well, they were right up until all the coffee shops closed. it's an interesting mix of like your homeschool families, your hipsters, and then your people who are like, well, I just grew up raising chickens, and so that's what I do.
Yeah.
And so the people who I know are more like, they grew up out in the sticks, and so it's just not, it doesn't feel like a thing for them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
Ronald, but what's the chicken situation at your place?
Well, hold on, man. I want to suss this out with Pipe, because I read that, what's that? I'm blanking out right now. Who's the guy, Andrew Peterson, which I didn't know anything about this dude. And I read his,
loves this guy. Everybody's in love with Andrew Peterson.
He's big in our tribe. And I literally,
he's a big sweetheart.
Until his book came out, I'm not trying to be all contrarian. I'd literally never heard of him. And, so I read his book, and his book was good. And,
what's like the book, just, like the like dragon thing for kids?
No, it was like a bio. It was called, Pipe, help me, Adorning the Dark.
Okay.
And so, you know, he's like this musician dude, but this is what I'm driving at right now, boys, is that he was like a Nashvillean guy. And then he ended up moving like in Nashville, but like found all this property. So like he lives in like rural Nashville, right? Like doing this musician quasi, like, you know, farm to table, you know, like,
yeah, dude, that's big
existence.
Yeah.
So like, so you can find, I mean, maybe he did this like so many years ago, it's like not even in existence anymore, but it just sounds like you can kind of do this sort of this conglomerate thing in Nash Vegas. Is that true?
Well, sort of. Okay. It's, you have to be in a unique position to be able to get property like that.
You so, mean rich and successful?
Yeah, like this Andrew Peterson.
You mean everybody not, and except anybody not describing us right now?
In order to truly fetishize being a poor farmer, you have to be rich.
So here's the thing.
You feel me?
First, Andrew Peterson is a lovely man, and not in the Terrence Malick way, but in the, like, I don't know him personally, but I have friends who are friends of his, and he is the genuine article.
Made him sound like a lovely man without hesitation.
Second of all, he's done very well for himself. Like he's written some great worship songs. He does he's a really careful, thoughtful artist. He's written a lot of music. He's written kids' books that are very popular, like kind of the young reader stuff you were talking about, sort of fantasy books. So he is in a position where he can, you know, go out to rural Williamson County. So that's like where Brentwood and Franklin are. And buy property. I don't know if he's actually there. I'm assuming it's Williamson County because of where he goes to church. And so he's in a unique position. Nashville is not, I mean, we're not talking like, you know, rural Mississippi where you can go buy an old farm for like $1.50 because it's just vacant. He has done something that is, it's kind of every homeschool family's dream, except most of them can't afford it.
Which is be rich and then live like a poor farmer.
Yeah. It's,
I love it, it too.
It's, I love it so it's much. Hobby farming, not, yeah. not,
yeah.
not like farming. Like I, you know, growing up in the Midwest, Ted, you know, this like farmers did not live an idyllic life. You know,
they work their tails, you know, off for sure.
And like, I blame Wendell Berry for all of this because,
dude, me too. That freaking guy has ruined so much.
Wendell Berry has turned every like nerdy city kid into a wannabe farmer without realizing that you to be a farmer means running the risk of being jobless every 9 months. Like,
absolutely.
Just, oh, had a drought. Looks like we have to sell the farm. You know, like there's just.
Dude,
Yeah,
anyway. Have we talked about how academics fetishize Wendell Berry and farming? Have I gone on that thing on here?
Yeah, I think we have.
I don't know. Do it again. This sounds fun. What else do we have to talk about?
Actually, no. I want to tell a quick Andrew Peterson story. And I do like Andrew Peterson. So he came to speak at my kids, you know, my kids' weirdo school. What? He came to speak at their big like fundraising gala. This was like a year or two ago.
Oh, school fundraisers are the best.
All these people have a huge Jones for Andrew Peterson because he's living the life that they all want to live, right? So there's some major Peterson fanboys in the room. So we're in this big like ballroom kind of setting at Union at the university where I teach, and Peterson, in true classical school fashion, they took a really charismatic guy and they made him do a really boring thing, which is like they made him just read from a paper that he had written, which is the most classical school thing ever. But then he had a Q&A, which he was doing really well at, you know, just being the charismatic, fun, like performer, you know, so he's kind of crushing the Q&A. But then this dude stands up. This is my favorite thing. It really made me love Andrew Peterson. No. Yeah, this dude stands up and he's trying to be all arty and esoteric and all impressive with his question. And the dude stands up and he goes, can you, sort of doing the academic thing. He's like, can you explain?
Why is that, man? You totally know.
Dude, I don't know, but they're all like.
Like we have to stutter for it to be more impactful.
Dude, exactly. For it to be truly.
Oh, stuttering is the new authenticity. Listen to any interview.
It's a new vulnerability.
People will pause in the middle of their question and and repeat it just so that they sound more thoughtful or authentic. It's ridiculous.
Kind of. So anyway, this guy is all like, can you explain the delicate relationship between, you know, whimsy and creativity? And I'm looking at Andrew Peterson and I'm figuring he'll do what I would do, which is just like the nice guy thing where you're like, I have no idea what the H you're talking about, but I'll just say some nice kind of thing. But Peterson pauses for a minute and he looks at the guy and he's like, no, he's like, I can't because I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, and it made me love Andrew Peterson even more.
So literally just took that dude's like pretentiousness.
And yeah, just, dude, he was just honest. Like, he was like, no, I have no actual clue what you're talking about in this moment. So I'm not going to explain the relationship.
Since he wouldn't answer the question, let me pose that question to you, Ted. Can you maybe, well, if you would, in your words, would you describe the delicate relationship between whimsy and say creativity?
Oh man, that's good. I don't know. I feel like I'm not the right person to answer this. I feel like my whimsy died like a decade ago. I'm in a post whimsy environment right now, unfortunately. That question, honestly, it would stump me too. So tip of the cap to Peterson for handling it the way he did. But speaking of Peterson, boys, I think we're getting far afield.
You don't need to answer the question?
Yeah, we're getting far afield into the farm, you know, metaphors here. But the reason we brought up chickens and farming at all is the fact that, Pipe, you and I are homeschool dads now. As of like a couple of weeks ago, we are now homeschool fathers, living that lifestyle. So we're now going to finally be accepted.
I suddenly have 8 more kids and I don't know how it just happened.
I suddenly have 80 more friends at church because I'm respected now as a real person. But, how's the homeschool life treating you, Pipe?
I've outsourced homeschooling to Google Classroom. That's how it's going here. No, I woke up on Monday morning of this week. So it was kind of the first full, okay, we're really doing this week because my kids had been on like pseudo spring break and whatever. So, and then there was a little bit of lack of clarity when they were going to go back. And now they're just not. They're not going back to school this year, I would guess. Mm-hmm. So here we are. And I opened up the emails from the teachers, which is a thing that I never do. We've discussed this on here. I don't read emails from teachers because they use 1,000 words where 8 will do and so forth. And
so they're like reform guys then.
Yeah. The difference is that teachers are trying to be helpful and reform guys are trying to sound smart. So the first thing I notice is there are 11 fonts in this email and I just have a headache at 7:30 in the morning already. There's 7 different colors. There's 19 attachments and then there's so every day of the week has every different subject broken out. So here's the thing. Some of you listening are going to go, oh, that is amazing.
That's good. That's what I would do. Yeah.
I saw that and I almost just poured bourbon in my coffee to start the day because it was that kind of thing. I was like, I can't do this. So I kind of sucked it up. Girded my loins and was like, all right, I'm going to figure this thing out and realized that basically this is 7,000 words to say, go to Google Classroom where all of the assignments are.
Yeah.
So if they had just said that at the beginning and then been like, here's basically what you need to know. Now, for those of you who want details, here's 11 fonts, 7 colors and 12,000 words. So it's been an experiment in figuring that out. And then, and then realizing I also don't know how to do math of any kind, but especially not Common Core math. You know,
dude, I hear you.
My kids won't even ask me for help anymore. They're just like, oh, Dad, you don't know how to do this. And I'm like, well, I mean, I made it this far in life. And then I look at it and I'm like, oh, nope, you're right. I don't know how to do that. That's not even a sentence. The instructions they gave you are Klingon. That's not even words.
No, it's tough, man. It's totally tough. So the very first week of this whole coronavirus stuff, when we were back at home, my kids' school did a really good job because they basically, and they have really good teachers, but the teachers would do the sensible thing, which is just send an email at the beginning of the week and be like, here's what you need to read. Here's what you need to do. And we actually had like an amazing week of homeschooling. It so amazing that KK and I were kind of like, why haven't we been doing this the whole time? Like it's working really well. And that maybe is a function of the boys being older now. They're 17 and 14 and they can kind of do their own stuff, but like it went really well. And then they had quote unquote spring break. And now after spring break, it gave these school people time to make it really complicated.
Yes.
So they sent out like the 9,000 word email. So first they sent out a survey, and the survey was, how do you want to move forward? And basically every parent was like, keep it simple, send us an email at the beginning of the week. So then after spring break, they're like, great, everybody get on Microsoft 360. We're going to do like concurrent class sessions, and you got to have at least two devices in the home that are equipped to do this. And now all the parents are like, Judas H. Priest, this is the worst. So yeah, in true academic fashion, you give an academic long enough to like screw something up and they will totally do it.
Yeah. I'm also trying to figure out like, what are the expectations of parents? Because there are certain parents who are absorbing this whole thing and just running with it. You know, they're like, oh, they're sort of like, they're getting to sort of step fully into their role as teacher. Whereas I'm like, no, I send my kids to school for a reason. And it's because I don't want to be their teacher. Like I can teach them how to ride a bike. I can teach them how to write a sentence, and I can teach them how to be funny. Not math, not science, and the other stuff.
Dude, totally. There are pros out there who do this very well.
And here's the thing. Elementary and middle school teachers are saints among all humans because they willingly and delightedly educate a very unlikable collection of humans. So totally. I have massive appreciation for what they do, even more so now that they're asking me to do it. I'm just really hoping that next year is basically, they're just like, yeah, the first semester is just finishing last school year. We're just, so my kids are going into sixth and ninth grades next year, but really they're just finishing fifth and eighth grades next year. That's my hope, because I'm not going to do very well in getting them there educated.
Totally. Dude, Ronnie Zoom's been quiet. I wonder if he's trying to fill that roster spot for Magnificent Seven.
I'm listening.
Baby, any luck on that? How far are we down the list of
seven?
Like,
yeah, we're still working it out. We're probably gonna have to bump it to next week.
Baby, you're gonna have to just pick a night and do this because nobody's gonna be all available on the same night. No, it's not coming together.
Guys, there's nothing else to do right now. It's going to come together. Y'all got to leave the house tonight? I mean, nobody has anything to do.
I think the problem is
can't we find a night that works?
The problem is we've discovered that between the three of us, we don't have four people in common that we like.
I think that is probably the most correct thing I've heard all week. But I think to say that we don't have time means, let me translate. That's coming at like the time that I'm watching the show I want to watch that night.
Exactly.
That for some reason.
Yeah, but what time is it for Sam Allbear? It's probably like 2 a.m. for him or whatever.
No, he lives in Nashville now. He moved to town. He's not a hobby farmer though. He just lives in town.
Dude, Piper, speaking of people that moved to Nashville, listen to what I heard the other night. I heard our boy Donnie Miller, the like life coach, management, like business guy, is I heard he's a Nashville guy now.
Oh, he's been in Nashville for as long as I have. So
has he really?
He was the first famous person I ran into in Nashville. I mean, there are far more famous people, but I was going to a coffee shop to do some writing, as one does in Nashville, because nobody writes anywhere besides.
Can't do any writing in your office.
No, that would be pathetic. What a sad state of being. And I get out of my car and I step onto the sidewalk and I run smack into this dude. And it's Donald Miller. So I literally ran into him. But he's
a big guy. How's he built?
He's tall. He's taller than I expected. I kind of expected a diminutive fellow who, you know, because
me too.
You read Blue Like Jazz, you just assume he's sort of waif-like.
How's he built?
Dude, you assume that little, that confessional must be tiny, just a little box, you know, but it must have been bigger. You remember the confessional he built? Where he apologized to everybody?
Like Jazz? Out on a college campus or something like that?
Dude, that was the money scene in that book. Without that scene, the book doesn't sell half as well.
But yeah, so he's probably about between 6 feet and 6'2", and he's wow. not like he's not muscularly built, but he has a sturdy frame. He's not a skinny man. He does walk like he has a bad knee, however. That was what I noticed. Like he looks like, oh, maybe he tore his meniscus at some point, or you know, he's got a bit of that
meniscus getting into that confession booth.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, carrying the weight of the emergent church on your shoulders is just very heavy.
Dude, seriously.
So wore out his
yeah,
knees.
Carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. Absolutely.
Is he still like all? Is he all weirded out and all that? All that
dude.
All
no, that he's total like
nobody even knows what is it anymore. I mean,
dude, he's total money moves like life coach guy now. He's
no,
like,
I know that, but like, what is he like? Guy. Is he like anti church? Does he just like? Is he still like that? I just meet at my confessional booth with like four other people. We do church.
The last thing I remember seeing and hearing from him explicitly about church was when he made everybody mad by saying, sometimes, you know, I just like to get outside and like nature is my church. You know, where he was just like,
oh,
this was probably like 6 years ago. I mean, it was while we were doing this podcast, but it was probably, yeah, 5 or 6 years ago. And
why I love the nature church.
But yeah, so he made a statement where he sort of disregarded the need for local church, or it sounded like that. I don't remember. It's been a long time. So I interviewed him for a podcast maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and it was all kind of leadership and business related. He was really nice. And it was one of the few interviews I did on that podcast where I was like, I want to keep talking to this guy because he has studied how stories work more than anybody I know. And so he reads the book, what is it, The 7 Basic Plot Lines. It's like a textbook. It's like 800 pages. He reads it every year. And and so it was a really fascinating conversation. He's really, really smart. But yeah, we didn't talk much about church-related stuff, just kind of business leadership, communication stuff.
Interesting. Yeah, it's curious. They like, because Portland was his home base, right? I feel like Portland is the OG Nashville. So he's
curious.
Really,
I don't think that's really insulting Portland when you say that, by the way.
I know, baby. I know.
I don't think you could do branding stuff out of Portland. I think you would be scoffed at. Like Nashville tries to be hipster, but it's also super brandy. You know, very that's social true. Media influencer, very businessy. So it works better here.
No, you're right, man. It's the perfect confluence of like both of those things in one city. Yeah, well said. Boys, what else are we talking about today? I gotta pull up the show notes.
Yeah, what were we talking about?
This is bad
about?
Radio Let's right see. Now.
Did we have a show notes? Hey, Pipe, read Big T's tweet I just laid out for you guys.
Wait
who, what? Big T has a tweet?
No, read the tweet that I sent to you and Big T.
When did you send it?
Like,
yeah, I don't see it, baby.
5 minutes ago.
Nothing came through. What?
Into the Happy Rant thing? Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
I tweeted at Happy Rant. So
you tweeted at us.
Oh, okay. See, that's why I can't see it. Piper, do the honors there.
This is great radio. 1 second, please.
We didn't make our fortune by doing great radio, boys. No. That's not what we're about.
So. Baby, you know what we made our fortune by? Selling Redbud coffee. You can fill this gap in the program by brewing a hot, delicious cup of Redbud coffee roasters. Brought to you by the Happy Rant Redbud. Can be found at, what's the URL? Redbudcoffee.com.
Yep, that's the one.
Use the code HAPPYRANT at checkout to receive how much off, Piper?
10%.
15%? 10% off?
Yeah.
10% off at checkout. Redbudcoffee.com, promo code HAPPYRANT. Okay, right, Piper.
Found it.
What's the tweet looking like?
Thank you for that excellent interlude.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good radio.
All right, after these messages. Good. All right. From Ronnie J. Martin on the Twitters, dear at Happy Rant Pod, creativity is what you turn to in the absence of whimsy.
Ronnie. Oh, that's good Yoda work.
Yeah.
That's good, like writing Yoda
Boys,
work.
How do you feel about that? What do you think about that one?
I mean, in terms of what you said or how you said it or both?
It doesn't matter to me what you say.
You're going to get lots of very earnest, unironic likes about that. So it's going to serve you in that regard. It's going to move your like Yoda life forward.
What does an unironic like look on Twitter? How do they click it unironically? That's what I
thought. Well, that's the problem. There's no unironic like button. But you're going to get a lot of people who are like, yeah, I've always felt that way about creativity.
It's the difference between yeah and when you click it, you know,
right.
Do you chuckle a little bit or do you kind of And
Why don't they give us different likes? Why don't they give us some ironic and unironic like buttons on Twitter? You know what I mean?
They also need a button that's just like a save button. So it's like, I don't actually like this. I just want to read the link later. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Twitter's so
we're fixing Twitter right now.
We are
Speaking of changes, boys, there's a lot of idealistic people out there who are saying things like this whole COVID-19 coronavirus moment that we're in is going to make us, quote, less selfish and more aware of others. What do you guys think about that, Ron? Do you think it's going to make like a big kind of idealistic change in America after we come out the other side of this thing? What are your thoughts?
That's a good question, man. I don't know that it's going to make any sweeping change. I think for some of us, our routines and our lifestyles could be altered enough to where we kind of realize that, you know, some of the things, some of our patterns have been a little too self-focused maybe. And now we're going to have the ability to, you know, our hearts be opened up to, you know, mm-hmm. to others in some unique ways that we didn't realize we had the ability to do before this. I don't know. But to say that there's going to be this big sweeping change, I mean, I don't know that I believe that when everything gets back to quote unquote normal, like that's really we're all just wanting to boomerang back to that more than anything.
Yeah.
And so I don't mean that in a cynical way either. I don't feel cynical about it, but I don't know. I would love to see the changes you're describing. I just don't know that they can be that widespread. You know, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying. I expended all my energy in that Yoda tweet.
The chicken conversation and the Yoda tweet. Baby, give us an update. Are you getting likes on it already?
I don't know. I gotta hold on. Let me look.
Yeah, let's have a look.
I don't think so. I'm not like a big like guy anyway. So I.
Baby, how was your week Yoda wise? It's been nice.
It's been just. I think it's just been steady, but nothing. Nothing excessive. Yeah, Amy, not a lot of likes. I don't think people know what to do with that one, guys.
Do you feel like you've been doing a lot of encouragement to pastors who are like talking into their computers?
Yeah,
you
totally.
Feel like you're leaning into that opportunity?
I mean, I've been on the phone or on the Zoom like half my day with dudes like that, which has been really cool.
Like really pastors, .. Even though your neck looks weird on Zoom, Jesus still loves you, like that
totally.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just like, how are you holding up? How are you like transitioning? Like, how is this just tearing away at your soul?
Where are we at on like the Enneagram certification from last week? I feel like that was a project you were going to lean into.
Yeah, for sure, guys. Yet? I mean, I'm technically already certified, but I might decide to get some other certifications as since we've talked about that. I might decide to go like get some other self certifications.
Dude, what about that link you sent us, dude? That was money. Like Cliff with one F, the Enneagram coach, dude. Yeah, I want to look that up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's actually, but like that link I sent you, that's legit Enneagram certification, guys.
Oh, it's legit.
CrossPoint Ministries.
What makes it legit?
Well, CrossPoint Ministries is kind of like, that's like the guru Enneagram. I mean, that's, you go to CrossPoint. Oh. You're getting the good stuff. You're getting all the Brainiac Enneagram stuff. I mean, you're getting the real stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. These guys, Jim and Cliff, they look right out of Central Casting for that, actually.
Oh, 100.
They're going to do a nice job with it. Yeah. Piper, what do you think about like all these idealists that say we're going to be less selfish on the other end of this? Do you buy it?
No, I don't buy it. I think it shows two things. One is it's like a window into what people dislike about themselves, you know? So when people talk about how they would love to see this change, yada, 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 I think what they're saying is, I wish I was different in this way. And they're hoping that the circumstance will lead to the change in them instead of realizing maybe you have some difficult work to do in your own life to get out of your own head, get out of your own ego, be less self-focused, et cetera. I think the other thing it shows is a complete lack of awareness on what it takes to change people. I think for if there was going to be a noticeable change in how our nation handled resources, treated other people, et cetera, we're talking Great Depression level misery to bring that about. It would have to be the kind of thing where everybody feels the pain of everybody else before any of us change dramatically over the long haul. Like, my grandmother would not throw away a ballpoint pen until she had, like, sucked the ink out of it. She would reuse plastic bags. Every reusable container she got from the grocery store was saved because she grew up in the Depression. And so, like, there's just a, there's a mindset there that uses resources differently. That's, that's probably what it would take before we noticed any change in how people are. And I just, I think the other thing is it's sort of a, it's a pendulum swing away from how exhausted we get at the blaming, the finger pointing, the anger. I think that I can't decide if it's funny or putrid. Maybe it's both. That the first response to this whole virus is who's at fault. You know, so there's people who are blaming Asians. That's horrific. There are people who are blaming our government. Could they have responded better? Probably. But also, it's a virus. You know, they didn't start it.
Right.
And so there's just a, I think the idealism is sort of a, like, that's so negative, guys. Let's be positive. Well, positivity based on nothing is just a figment of our imagination. So it's, it kind of just feels a lot like that to me.
No, that's a good word, man. I totally agree. Now, have you boys, either of you, been, like, shamed yet for, like, going outside or going to a restaurant or any of that stuff? Has that happened to either of you?
No. I mean, I haven't really gone anywhere besides the grocery store and maybe, you know, Target in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And there are no restaurants open. You can go, you can do takeout. And
I've
done that a couple times, and it's been the opposite of shame because the people who work there are so glad to see customers, and so, like, they, I think they're just, they're living on a knife's edge, and so to have anybody who's coming in and buying from them feels great, and so that was actually a really, you know, a warm interaction. But other than that, I've been outside plenty, but just sort of outside at a distance from all other humans.
Yeah. What about you, baby? Shaming?
Yeah, man. We 2 weeks ago when we did our first live stream, we we were a little too close on stage, and
comments.
Yeah, we caught a little heat on that one. It wasn't intentional. Oh, wow. Obviously, we tried, but, like, we were just we're a little too tight, and so this week we stripped it down, measured out that 6 foot rule, and into that, and then, you know, kind of went. That's the only heat that I've gotten. But yeah, I'm like Pipe. I mean, there's nowhere to go unless you want to break into a restaurant and just, you know, eat there, even though they're not letting you in, right? Just unless you want to just, like, robber your way into a restaurant and say, "I'm eating here. I don't care what you say." I mean, there's not a lot
of bold move.
Or unless you want to just, like, have, like, a, you know, like, a dinner party, which just doesn't really seem like a great idea right now. And I don't know. Have you been, has that happened to you, T?
Dude, no, but, like, there's been a little, KK's encountered a little finger wagging, but you know, it's nothing huge. I just think, boys, it's a good time to go out back and slaughter a chicken and just hunker in, you know,
wear some overalls.
Yeah, man, get in the overalls and go Wendell Berry this thing. I think that's the answer.
Speaking of Wendell Berry, man, I'm going to do a pivot here. That's going to sound really bad, but I just saw this video by Karen Swallow Pryor, like, showing us her house, and she literally lives in, like, this Jane Austen, like, Victorian mansion. It's like,
dude, it pays to be an English professor at Calvin or wherever.
Yeah, it's Liberty, man. It seriously is impressive. Well, it's super weird.
Like, she lives outside, like, Lynchburg, Virginia. You probably she probably got paid to live in that house because they're like, nobody else wants to move here. So,
well,
it's,
dude, yeah, but it looks really like, oh, if I were to think of where Karen Swallow Pryor lives, this is exactly where I dream she lives. And then you click on it, you're like, oh no, that's where she lives. You know what I mean?
Who's Karen Swallow Pryor? What's
she's deal? Just a writer and a prof at Liberty, soon to be a prof at, like, Southeastern Seminary.
She's a literature professor, writer, like, really good writer, and also just very funny, likable person. And but one of those rare people who's an academic, who's enjoyable, who loves the arts.
That is
but,
rare.
But not in a like the weird reformed way where you try to redeem the arts, but just sort of like art is art and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
So she's great. And
some ways kind of like a female you, Big T, if I'm gonna compliment.
Whoa. She sounds like an incredible lady then.
Oh, man. Just flabbergastingly amazing.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
She even wears unique glasses, similar to someone we know on this podcast.
Obviously, we know where Ted's going after the pod pipe, which is to look up everything Karen Swallow Pryor.
Oh, yeah. I just bought all of her books on Amazon. They'll get here in 6 years. Boys, how long until we do similar videos at our homes, like little walk and talks? Is it like an MTV Cribs thing that she did? Like
she
opened the fridge
to show
and all
everybody.
That?
Yeah, she didn't. No, not like that. She was like, I love to see where people like do their writing and how they get inspired by their spaces. Okay, and I want to show everybody my. So yeah, I might just do that later and show everybody like.
So
my
clearly, class. She doesn't have kids. Because the whole getting inspired by your space thing—that's a post-kid thing for
right,
sure.
So which means that's what I have to do today, boys.
It's,
for sure.
Yeah.
This, you know, earlier I mentioned how people go to coffee shops to write. Children have a lot to do with that.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. No, that's no doubt, man. Good word. Piper, why don't you lay some promos on us? I feel like I kind of muddled my way through the coffee promo in the middle of the program.
But so suavely. I felt really good about it. So, yeah.
The Karen Swallow Pryor of coffee promos.
Did you say carrot? It's Karen, man. It's
Karen.
K-A-R.
No, I said Karen.
Oh, I thought you said carrots. Like carrots.
Yeah, well, you know, that works too.
Man, this pod, you guys. I mean, how memorable
is it going to be? Baby, do you think the energy on the Magnificent Seven when we record it in 6 years is going to be as good as this?
Oh, dude, the energy is going to be over the. I mean, the energy is going to be there. That's why I just keep stalling it because I'm trying to build energy.
Baby, are you worried about people not knowing each other, really?
No, I love that. I love that aspect of it. I feel.
Does everybody know each other except me?
I'm going to pretend like I don't know any of you.
We don't know who the people are because we don't have any more friends to ask, Ted. So it's hard to say who knows who when we're still working on like 4 out of the 7.
Pipe, it's not that we don't have friends to ask. It's what you just said. We just don't have any friends we like that we want to ask.
Dude, ask whoever you want. I don't like anybody.
Just
ask whoever you want.
I'm trying to get some diversity on Magnificent, and that's where I'm struggling, man. You know, so just give me a minute, boys. Guys, we're going to be on lockdown for months. We got time. There's time. Relax. We have time.
Let's just make it the whole Wilson family and us. Kids, pets, grandparents, the whole deal.
The problem is there's more than 7.
Just make it them then. Them and you. That's what you really want to do, baby. You don't want me and Pipe on there.
Yeah,
I really do want you guys on there.
You asked us out of, like, pity.
Obligation. Totally, dude.
Did not ask Pipe, you out of pity.
It's like you and me and all Ron's, like, new friends. You
maybe
know what I mean?
Maybe I did ask you out of pity.
We're like Ron's link to the old neighborhood, like the old days 6 years ago.
We went to middle school with him, and then we went to different high schools, and he got cool.
We raised chickens together, boys, back in the old days.
Dude, it's you, me, and all the people that Ron's working now for like new stuff. But yeah, we raised some chickens together. Hey, listen, that bond of chickens, it's you big. Can't break that.
Yeah.
Okay,
fried that's chicken. Huge.
Yeah,
fried chicken is huge. A bond that doesn't disappear when a virus comes into play.
All right, Pipe, do some business, and then I'll get us out of here. I got to do some academic advice.
I love how the show's just starting to get good, and you just want to end it right now.
Well, baby, I have to end it because I have work to do.
Oh, wait. I was still waiting for it.
I got to do a Ronnie Zoomer.
Oh, I didn't know you were doing work right now. Sorry, T.
No worries.
I thought you were off work like everybody else.
A little
else.
Subtle shade. I didn't know you had a job. All right.
Baby, I'm the world's greatest online professor right now.
All right.
Our sponsors for this episode are... InterVarsity Press with the book Our Good Crisis, Overcoming Moral Chaos with the Beatitudes by Jonathan Dodson. It is available now, as mentioned in previous episodes. He walks through the Beatitudes and just reflects on how they apply to today as much as they did to their age when Jesus preached them. Everything from the, you know, moral vagueness of the day, the uncertainty of our time, all of that. It's just a very pastoral Reflection. It's not a long book, so 177 pages. That's an easy read. So very sermonic, devotional sort of book. Our Good Crisis by Jonathan Dodson from IVP. Check that out. Our other sponsor is Dwell Bible, an audio Bible app. Now is a great time to try them out. I think they have a free trial going on right now, but I was just talking to one of the guys I work with, and he said he has really appreciated it because there's just so much weirdness in the schedule right now that being able to turn on an audio Bible and kind of have that for encouragement and to kind of fill the mind when it's so easy to try to, you know, the mind start to race with anxiety or figuring life out or whatever. So if you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, you can actually get a 33% discount on it as well. So check out Dwell. Again, that's dwellapp.io/happyrant. It is a great app, very encouraging. Obviously, it's scripture. If you don't find it encouraging, that's on you. But check them out today.
Hey, fellas, check this out. So I once heard this Christian rapper, and this is the only line from a rap song I've ever remembered. And he said, "You all got attitude. What you need is the Beatitudes."
Oh. Ooh.
Do you guys get what I'm saying? Do you understand what he meant by that rhyme, T? Do you get that?
I feel like I get it. I feel like I get it.
That's the only line from a rap song you remember?
Well, I don't listen to hip hop.
That makes me so sad.
Why?
Because there's so many great lines in rap songs.
Hip-hop's not really music, so I don't listen to it. And, you know, that's just, you know, so that's where I'm at, you know.
Oh, hip-hop's not really music. Shots fired, Piper.
I'm just trying to stir some things up.
Oh, wait, this coming from the guy who makes, like, electronic squeaks?
Wow. Oh. It's funny because you would have thought, T, that by me saying that, I was insulting a hip-hop producer, Barnabas Piper, but I wasn't, but he took so much offense to that.
That's no, cool. You don't know about the two hip hop records that Pipe produced in the early 2000s?
Dude, if I knew Pipe produced a couple of hip hop records, those would be the first two hip hop records I've ever listened to today.
Dude, Piper is the Suge Knight of reformdom. He's in all ways.
Wait, does that mean I get to find people I don't like and like beat them? Does that because he did
beat
that.
Them and
pistol whip
dangle
them
over like
hang them over
like
railings
hotel,
from seven
railing.
Stories of hotels?
T, absolutely. Do you think it's weird if I tell you, and with all earnesty and earnesty, I like that's a new word I made up. Uh-huh. I've literally never listened to a hip hop record.
Baby, are you serious? Like never. Not
once.
Even out of curiosity. You never.
Not even out of like. Not even out of humor. Not out of curiosity. I've never even driven with another dude that's like put in something, and then I've just like listened.
Wow.
To
that cannot be a true statement.
It's totally
like,
true.
I don't think you're lying. I think you have erased your memory or something.
No, I literally
maybe, like,
never
truly,
have.
I feel like you're...
I'm not
I
saying I've never heard out. A hip-hop song. I mean, obviously, I've heard a song, but I've never put on a record, a hip-hop album, and listened. Like, literally, I've never listened to an album all the way through of hip-hop. Ever. Wow. Once.
Now, Piper, and this is me making money moves out of COVID-19. I feel like we should start another Zoom podcast in which we just play hip hop records for Ron in their entirety. And
but
we
then
let
right
him,
before it finishes, I like log off.
We just let him respond.
Baby, I got to keep my rep.
I know you got to protect your rep, baby. Hey, roll up.
Roll up,
Snoop Dogg.
I feel like there's a decent chance that he could fall in love with it.
I think there is.
There's
too,
a
Piper.
Lot of really aspects prefer. To hip hop that would I feel like would totally. Gel very much with Ronnie's creative sensibilities.
Totally. Yeah,
I agree.
No, I probably dig. You know, I like some of the beats for sure. You know, so there you go.
Yeah, I think so.
Ronnie,
I think
so. I owe you an apology for talking about electronic squeaks.
But I didn't invent electronic squeaks, so I'm not offended in the least. So.
Well, no.
Boys,
but
let's
you,
do this.
You have put in a fair amount of effort into creating. Electronic music, so throwing shade at it is not kind, and I apologize.
Dude, no, you don't have to do that, man. I couldn't be less.
But apologizing makes the show awkward, so please bear with me.
Yeah, I need
Piper, let's do this. Let's make like a five-song playlist and send it to Ronald.
Just make sure it's not album length.
Dude, no, not album, like EP length. And between now and next recording, let's have him listen to the songs and then we can work our way through them on the next
dude
episode.
I'd be happy to do that. It would give me joy.
I like that. Let's
so,
do it.
So one song from five different artists, I'm assuming, is what we're gonna go for. Five to six.
Yeah, yeah, five or six songs, like kind of like.
Hold on now. Obviously, I've heard some like major like hip hop hits. Hear what I'm saying here. It's not like I haven't heard some of these tracks, you know. But like to sit down and like, hey man, I like this guy and I like that guy and that was one of my favorite albums. Like that, like sure, sure, it, sure. It doesn't exist for me. So.
Sure, sure. No, I get it. Judas Priest, boys, I got to get off this this program and so go do some work.
Hey, you go ahead and lose yourself, T.
What hold you on the.
Listen, my palms are sweaty, baby. My knees weak. Arms are heavy. My knees are weak, boys. My arms are heavy because we have done what we always do in this program, in that we have wandered to and fro throughout some topics. We certainly haven't been just three people on a call talking about whatever they want for 45 minutes. Oh, no. We have wandered to and fro, and we will see you. Wait, how do I sign the show off?
And I'm until next try time. Again. Yeah.
And until
do it again. Next do it again. Time.
I almost signed it off like my other show. Hey, we've wandered to and fro throughout these topics.
Wait, other show?
Yeah. Dude, with your favorite guy.
Oh, dude, all right. No, carry on.
Yeah, with Bartizzi. Until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Life Audio presents Bridges with Monica Schmelter.
That we have an enduring hope that can't be taken away when we are in Christ. And to know that we have that, right? And eternal salvation, because this world can be so busy and so dark that we can forget that.
Right.
Right? Because sometimes I get caught in the trappings of what's going on in my life this moment. And while I have to recognize that, that's not it.
Continue listening on lifeaudio.com or wherever you find your podcast.